Hey, Tracy, how's it going?
It's great. How are you?
It's good, good.
Today's the full moon, day after summer solstice, and we are back in the boat, I guess you could say, or moving into the vortex, back on the wagon or the wheel or the whatever, right?
I think so. Okay. It sure seems that way, doesn't it?
Force of will, baby.
Yeah.
So let me introduce you to Andrea Bate. She is founder and owner of Launch Grow Joy, which is an amazing resource for people who have retail products, and she helps you get publicity and in Oprah Magazine and all kinds of crazy awesome stuff there. And she's one of the very few people I know who have really made that whole funnel work, like with the whole online business funnel, passive income work. Like, she's made it work. I want to talk to her today about something we've both been experiencing for the last few years, and I'm sure many of you have been experiencing it, kind of a funk and not being able to get back our mojo, just being in like this malaise for the last couple of years where it's like, ugh. So Andrea, welcome, and thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks, Tracy. I'm so happy to be talking to you. And I want to introduce you as well. So, you know, Tracy and I have known each other for, I want to say like 4.5 years now, almost 5, maybe. This summer it'll be 5. So we've been working professionally together. We've been hanging out as friends. And Tracy is an author. She's written a ton of books. The one you're most well known for is probably The Year of Yes. And I just love how we've collaborated in the past and your insight into things as well. And I know we've both helped each other out in a lot of ways over the last few years. So I am really happy to be talking to you today, Tracy.
I know. I'm so excited about it too. And I really want to honor the fact that this is the first time that you've been in public talking about anything like this. Mm-hmm. I guess let's talk about for one second, like when we met. When we met, we were both on fire, right? Mm-hmm. Like you were killing it with your business, and you were getting asked on all kinds of programs. You had a billboard in Times Square with your face on it. Times Square, like a ginormous billboard, because you were killing it. And I was launching The Year of Yes, and my vibration was super high, and we were like, ah, let's go for it. And we just happened to live in the same city, and I didn't really know who you were, but we met up, and we were like, oh, yeah, okay, this is fun. And then at the same time, maybe 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
It's like, boom, both of us, like something happened where it was just like, don't. So can you describe what that felt like for you, that don't?
Yeah.
Like before, and then the don't. What happened there? I know it was pretty dramatic for you.
Yeah, it was really, really dramatic. It was like, you know, one day I was, you know, out speaking at events and back-to-back things. And I remember that year, this was back, I think, in 2015. And I remember I had such a busy summer. Like, I spoke at Creative Life. I taught a 3-day class. Then I went to speak at a conference in Indiana. And it was like all of this stuff was back to back. And then I was attending all these events in Denver. And then all of a sudden, like, I was at one of these events in Denver. And all of a sudden, I just felt something shift. And I totally crashed. And I was like, oh my God, like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel like me. And like, what is this? You know, like, what is this? So I went home that day. And I feel like things have never been the same since then. It's really weird. You know, it was like there was a before and then there was an after. And I feel like I'm still kind of navigating the after. And I've spoken a little bit about it, like on my personal Facebook page, and I wrote a blog post about it on my blog. But I haven't really, I think because I'm still processing what the hell happened, you know, then it's still so new to me, you know. And that year, actually, I had launched my program the week before this event happened. And it was my biggest program to date. It was like my biggest launch, my most professional launch. I had made the most money with this launch. I was so out there. I was so public. And my business was just totally skyrocketing. And then all of a sudden, I swear, this one day, like, everything turned around. And ever since then, it's like my health plummeted. I got a divorce. My business is still going well, but it's kind of stayed steady. You know, it hasn't like dropped or increased. It's been really steady. But I'm still looking back and I'm like, what the hell happened? Like, what was that? And I know you and I have spoken about this a lot, and I've spoken with a lot of other people as well. And they're like, oh my God, yeah, that was like, you know, the worst year of my life. And then I don't know, like, I just have not been able to just get my mojo back and to be me and to really do what I'm meant to do and the reason that I'm here. So it's, it's been really intense, I would have to say, you know. And it's just like, I look back and I'm like, what happened? Like, what happened and why did it happen? So, yeah.
Do you have an answer?
I've been thinking about it a lot. I think the answer is that there's two things. So, and you and I have talked about the big leap and the upper limit problem, and about how, you know, when something is going really well in one area of your life, then something, if you sabotage yourself and if you feel like maybe you don't deserve it or something is off about your intention with it, then another area of your life suffers. So I feel like, you know, my business was doing really well, and then all of a sudden, like, my health and my marriage just totally went down the drain. So it's like, okay, that makes sense, you know, because I do remember thinking like, wow, you know, I'm in this position that I never even imagined I would be in. And like, all these people are looking up to me and I'm so successful and I'm everywhere. And this isn't really what I'm used to. Like, this isn't me, you know? So I feel like that's part of it. And the other part of it is that I feel like I wasn't really clear on what it is that I wanted. Like, I, you know, had this business and I was like, yeah, this is great. It's going well. And I was kind of coasting, even though I was like really hustling, you know, but I was coasting and doing stuff as it came along and responding to what was happening rather than like preparing and being proactive about it. So I think part of why it happened is because I needed to really have a wake-up call about the things in my life that were not fulfilling me. And I think sometimes, you know, I was someone who never dealt with health issues, so I could never like really relate to anybody who was sick or anything like that. And oh my God, after 3 years of this, I like have so much compassion for anybody who has ever struggled with any health issue, whether it's, you know, like an acute thing that they're dealing with or a chronic thing. And for me, it showed up as like chronic fatigue and adrenal fatigue and all of these other things. And I think a lot of that, it really gave me time to stop. Like, literally my body stopped, like everything stopped. And I've been trying to think about it since then. I'm like, why am I here? Why did this happen? You know? And I think the more I introspect, or like the more introspective I am on that, the more the answers are coming to me. And I think it's because I was meant to do something even bigger, but I was so afraid of where I would, where I would go and what I would reach. And I had this feeling that if I was to get there, there are certain people in my life that were not going to come with me. So, so I really think, you know, it was the universe's way of being like, okay, let's, you know, just stop everything for you and really make you reevaluate everything. And you could be really intentional and decide who's coming and who's not coming with you. And let's go from there. So I think it just happened as a huge wake up call, you know, and like, as you're going through it, and I'm still going through it, you know, like, I'm still not like 100% to where I was, but I feel like as you're going through this, things start to make sense even more, you know. And like, each day I have an insight and I'm like, oh my God, like, this sucks, but this makes so much sense that it had to happen this way for me to really see why I'm here. I think that's the long answer. it all makes sense right now.
So I've been talking to my friend Daryl. I've talked to so many people who are having the same experience. Yeah. And one of the things that I really want to point out with you is many of the other people that I've talked to are like, we're all asking the same thing. And this, the question is, what is the point of this, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's saying sort of the same phrases over and over and over. And, you know, some of us say, oh, well, if I only had this, then this wouldn't be happening. And for many of us, it's if I only had money, then this wouldn't be happening, because we think that money is the point. But what I love about you is you're asking the same question, and money is not what you don't have, mm-hmm. right? That's not mm-hmm. the thing that's missing for you, but you're saying exactly the same thing. So mm-hmm. I kind of just want to point out to people that it's not money. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. If it were, then people like Andrea would not be sitting here with us going, what the fuck is the point of this, right? So I think it has to do with like a much deeper meaning, right? Because when I was pursuing the year of yes and just running for it, my vibration was super high and I was writing books in 48 hours. And like, I mean, just, you know, this going, man, we're going. I think maybe I thought the point was different than it is. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I thought, oh, when I reach number one Amazon bestseller, then I've, you know, whatever. Well, that happened for me last year on a book launch, and I didn't even remember it at the end of the year until I saw it on my Facebook feed. And I was like, oh, well, that was really emotionally relevant to me if I don't even remember that I made Amazon bestsellers. Yes. In a couple of months, like, it made no emotional impact mm-hmm. as I was reviewing my year. But I thought that that was going to have an emotional payoff for me. I mm-hmm. thought it was going to bring me some kind of joy. Mm-hmm. And it really was just kind of like a, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's such a good point, I think, because I do, you know, there were times in my journey over the last 3 years, like my chronic fatigue was so bad that I could not even get out of bed. You know, like I would get out of bed and I was so dizzy that like I couldn't even walk. Like I remember one day where, you know, I was like, I can't, you know, even go food shopping, and I discovered Instacart. I know you and I have talked about that. And I, you know, I'm like, oh my God, this has been the answer. Like, I can go out shopping and I need food and I need to feed my kids, you know, so I'm going to do Instacart. And I remember like I ordered Instacart and, you know, the guy came to deliver my groceries at the door, and I got up and I was so exhausted that like I could not even walk to the door to open the door for him, you know? And I was like, oh my God, like, this is scary. You know, what the hell is going on? Why can't I even like get enough energy to walk to my door and open the door so I could get my groceries, you know, like, let alone go to the store? And I remember thinking, like, you know, I do have all this money, and I feel very fortunate. Like, I am so lucky, you know, and I've worked really hard for what I have. But I remember in that moment thinking, you know, like, money doesn't matter if I don't have my health. Like, I can have all this money sitting in my bank account, but if I can't even get off my couch and open my front door, then what's the point? Like, what's the point of all this money? I can't even, you know, enjoy my groceries with it. And I just remember thinking at that point, like, health is what it's all about, you know, like, that's what it's about. But then at the same time, my marriage is crumbling, you know, and I was like, what's the point of health if you don't like have a family, or if you work so hard for this marriage that just totally fell apart? So then I was like, oh my God, family is what it's all about, you know? So I'm like, it's not about the money, it's not about the health, it's about the family. But then I was like, wait, if you have a family, but you don't have your health, then what's the point of that? You know, so I've just been really like just thinking, like, what's the point, you know? If I used to be one of those people who was like, yeah, when I have money, you know, because I grew up really poor, you know, like my parents had no money. And I was like, always like, when I have money, I'll do this, or I'll buy that, or I'll be this. And then I had the money and I was like, no, you know, and then my health was gone. So then I spent like 3 years of being like, okay, once I have my health back, then I'll go back and build my business. Then I'll go and look for another relationship. Then I'll go grocery shopping again, you know? So there's been this thing of like, once I have this, then I can do that. And I think I realized that was one of the biggest lessons for me, is that there's no, you know, once I have this, then you can get that. It's like, what you have is right now, and that's what you have to work with. And forget about, you know, once you get there to this point, then you have this. It's like, what do you have now, and how do you work with that? And I think I was still living in the future and in the past that I was never present, but I feel like this whole just shit show that I've been going through has like taught me to be more present and to really appreciate what I have, you know, because there was a point where I was like, well, I don't care about money. Like, that's not like, I don't really care about that. Look, I just want to be healthy.
What do you say?
Right.
You never heard a poor person say, I don't care about money.
But I mean, you know, it's interesting. Like, I grew up really poor, you know, like my family had no money, like ever, you know, we grew up in Romania and, you know, like you have to stand in line for food. So like, I know what poverty is, and I've been there and I've been able to climb out of it. And it's not that money is the one thing. It's like, it all works together. You know, it's like, if you don't have one, then the other ones are affected as well. So I think that's the whole point of all of this. Like, you can't just sit and wait for when you have money or when you have health or when you have a husband or, you know, or what, or when you have kids or whatever. It's like, what do you have right now to work with? And how do you be grateful for that and really enjoy that? Because it can be taken from you like in an instant, you know. And I had an incident where and I know I told you about this like a few, maybe like 2 months ago or a month ago, where it's like my credit card company took out almost all the money in my business account, right? So like, I logged into my account and almost all my money was gone. And I was like, what? Like, this is weird. How can that be? You know, like, how can all my money just disappear? But it totally was gone, you know, and it took me like a month to get it back and to like, you know, be on the phone with them every day to give me my money back. But it really made me think, like, what would I do if that money was really gone? Like, what would I do? Because just because I have it today doesn't mean it's going to be there tomorrow. So I think it was just like another huge lesson for me about what do you have today? Like, and how do you be grateful for what you have today and strive to get the things that you don't have yet, but really enjoy what you do have today. You know, whether it's your health or your husband or your kids that are healthy or, you know, or your business that's going really well. How do you truly enjoy that and be grateful for that?
Yeah. Andrea and I are both Leos, and this past couple of years has been so crazy that I started looking for answers in all kinds of places. And I've always been on a spiritual path, but not that into astrology or whatever. But I started watching some, astrology videos and, just in terms of, especially for Leos, but on the broader thing, there's this really magnificent shift happening. We can all see it in the world. Things are becoming very light and very dark. And there are people who are on the spiritual path. Like, I don't know how many people are experiencing or can articulate the whole idea of what is even the point of this. Like, I don't know if there are people who are just not doing any spiritual work at all who are getting that, because, you know, there are certain people where I'm like, you are not getting it. But anyone who's been doing any work at all, I feel like this has been a period where the universe has just been stripping the superfluous away, right? Oh, this isn't serving you. This isn't serving you. This isn't serving you. This isn't serving you. Mm-hmm. So when you start with a greater intention, for instance, when I started dream boarding, almost everything on my dream board were objects. They were objects that I could attain, right? Yeah. And then I would attain them easily. And I'd be like, oh my God, look, I got the couch. Oh my gosh, I got the car, right? Which is awesome. It's so exciting. And I love it. You know, that pair of boots, all of it, I just find thrilling. But when you start saying things like, oh, I want to feel joyful or happy. Well, one of the unintended consequences is that if there's something in your life that's not making you joyful or happy, it has to leave. And I think that that's happening on a more magnified field right now. It's just, it's happening in a stronger, more intense way for those of us who are intentionally moving forward on a path towards helping others enjoy and bringing light to the universe, because things have gotten so drastic. That it was like, okay, stripping this away, all distractions. This relationship's got to go. That job has got to go. That book has got to go. That friend has got to, like, just the things that we hold ourselves up for. Like, okay, Amazon bestseller status. I thought it was going to do something that it didn't, right? And that it can't, really, right? So it's kind of like we bought into the American dream mythology, got there, and went, oh. Well, and then there are, you know, consequences to that as well. I know we've both experienced jealousy and, you know, haters online and, you know, people in our lives who were saboteurial and not very kind about it. So then it came with like this other trap, right? Like, yeah. I've felt trapped quite a bit in the last couple of years where I'm like, well, okay, if I do this, people are mad at me. And if I do that, people are mad at me. It's a trap. Like, I can't win either way. And I think that the last 3 years have, one of my big lessons has been, yeah, you can't win with everyone. And so you have to figure out what it is you really want. Right. So, cause I can't make this person happy and this person happy. And I keep trying to, right.
Right.
The line where my family is going to be happy and my friends are going to be happy and my boyfriend and my husband. And, you know, I keep trying to walk the line where I'm making everybody happy or not too upset. And then when I finally realize, oh, it is a trap. Like, I am never going to achieve making everyone happy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Like, how can I come to a state of acceptance where that's not emotionally crippling? Right.
But, yeah.
It does get emotionally crippling for me to feel conflicted between my inner self and my people. And, you know, what if I lose this person? What, you know, like, I don't like getting attacked on the internet. I know that's just weird of me, but I don't think it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
Out there as a public person, which is what writers do, which is what, you know, communicators do. That seems like a really big cost to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to put yourself out there and just receive all this shit, you know, just horrible, terrible things, like, you know, and then how do you keep your heart open and not have just a big, huge wall come down where you're like, well, like, yeah. A very complex sort of path, I feel like, my own personal self and all the other people I know who are trying to move into more of a, I don't want to say influencer, like social media. That's not what I mean. As a facilitator for joy in whatever they bring that. I feel like having all of that stripped away and just being like, hey, well, here you are. What is the point?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when I was younger, it was, oh, I'm going to, you know, make money and rise in this company and have a family and get married. And then, you know, I'll be happy. And then I had that. And then I was like, oh, I'm living for my children. And then my children are older and I'm sitting on the couch going, oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to be here waiting for them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because they like said, hi, mom. And then went and did their thing.
Right.
So then what is the point, right? What is the point of me working? What is the point of what I'm doing? Right. What is the point of what I'm doing? And I feel like in my own introspective processing work with various resources and materials, such as The Big Leap by Guy Hendrickson is one that I pulled back out. I feel like there can only be one point, and that is joy. like for what makes you feel joyful, not what you expect to make you feel joyful. And like you said, the presence thing, you can only tell what is going to make you feel joyful if you're present enough to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. Yeah.
You can't feel joy in the future.
Yeah.
You feel joy in the past. Mm-hmm. Like feeling something right now is, that's where joy is, right? You have to feel it right now. Just like you have to feel anything you're going to feel right now. You can imagine you're feeling there and you can remember you're feeling there, but you can't actually feel it. It has to be right here, right? So that's like an every single day thing. That's like taking off like, oh, I think that the house and the car and the money and the kids and the husband and the relationship, oh, I think that's going to bring me joy. And so yes, to manifest that, you would imagine yourself getting those things and bring joy. But I can imagine myself feeling joy about all kinds of things where when I get there in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, okay, that's cool. I'll put that on my resume, you know. That's awesome.
But yeah.
They're feeling it. It's a, like, I think that's like a, we're not even having a curiosity about what will make us joyful. Mm-hmm. We're missing that part. We're making so many assumptions and decisions based on what everybody around us and the culture is telling us about what will bring us joy.
Yeah.
We're not even paying attention to, oh, this brings me joy. This mm-hmm. brings me joy. And I remember one year I put serendipity on my dream board because the previous year I had gotten what I asked for and then I had gotten this unexpected surprise. And what I asked for was like, just like the emotional impact of everything I put on my list was like this, right? I thought it was going to bring me joy, but it didn't. But then this other thing showed up at the same time. So I'm looking at everything I put on paper. And then this other thing I never would have put on paper in a million years. And the one that was bringing me joy was the one that was a surprise.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. And it was just staying present and going, well, that was a surprise. Never would have asked for it. Never would have thought it would have made me happy. Never would have wanted it. Never would have, like, in fact, had I put it, somebody put it on paper and given it to me, I would have been like, no, thank you. No. And yet it was my most joyful experience of the year. And I had put everything on paper and said, oh, this is what I want. And I got that. And I was like, that's surprisingly anticlimactic.
Right.
Like, yeah. Making me climax like this is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. And so I feel like now, and I don't know, I think it's the age of our times and just seeing like everything around us crumble just in terms of everything around us is just so intensely crumbling and building, because that's what it is. It's death and rebirth. And I feel like the more curious and present, as you said, present with what do I have to work with now, like just tuning in and going, wait, is this bringing me joy?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to imaginary situations that might bring me joy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
We all said, oh, well, when I get married, da, 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 and then we've been married. I mean, God bless you if you have been married blissfully and never had an issue.
Sorry about that. So
I like where this is going. It's present, right?
Yes,
that's the point.
Yeah.
Joy, stay curious. But I want to talk about resistance, right? So
yes, please.
Okay. So why don't you describe resistance, how it is experienced for you when I'm like, Andrea, we're moving into the vortex and you gotta come along.
I mean, I swear, it's like, I feel like this whole thing is a wake up call. And then I feel like anybody who gets a wake up call, that is such a gift, you know. It might seem like crap, but it's such a gift when you get a wake up call, you know, whether it's whatever form of wake up call you get. But I do think resistance is part of it. And I think I'm still really struggling with that, you know, and as we've seen, we've talked about this a lot. But there's been certain times where it's like you want something and you know you're on your way to get it, and then something happens and that thing totally disappears. You know, when it's like, did that happen because I didn't really want it? Did it happen because I didn't really work hard enough? Like, why did that happen? Like, I was so set to get this thing and it didn't happen, you know? And like my most current example that I can give you, which I posted on my Facebook page today, is the car. You know, it's like, I've been wanting to get a car for a long time, like maybe over a year. And my car is fine, like no complaints or anything, but I've, you know, it's like almost 12 years old, and I was like, okay, it's time to get a new car. You know, I don't want it to break down in the middle of the winter. And then I had all of this stuff comes up. Like, I decided on the car that I wanted, and then I had all of this stuff come up during that time where the universe was like, nope, 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 we're not gonna get it, you know. And even like, and I know you were there when this happened, but it's like I was literally like on my way to the dealership to be like, okay, I am coming and I am getting this car. And they were expecting me to come and get this car. And then I make a phone call. I'm like, I'm on my way. And they're like, oh, sorry, we just sold the car and to someone else. And it's like, what? Like, we just talked about this 2 hours ago. How is it that, like, in 2 hours, you know, I'm on my way, but how do you sell the car to someone else in 2 hours? And why do they want my car? Like, couldn't they get another car? You know? And it's like, stuff like that, it just seems so silly, you know, because it's like, well, there's, you know, 200 other cars in the lot, but it's like, I wanted that car. And I was really specific that that's the car that I wanted, you know? And but I also felt like there was this part of me that was really resistant to having this car. And I was like, who am I, you know, to just walk into a dealership and just buy a car and, you know, get exactly the car that I want? And why do I deserve this? And, you know, there's people who are struggling. So like, this was still in the back of my mind where I was like, but do I really deserve this car? And why can't I just be okay with my old car? Like, it doesn't have any issues, you know? So I think my feeling that I didn't really deserve it really played out in this one, because I really didn't feel like, I'm like, yeah, it'd be nice to have a new car, but, you know, there's people that are like, you know, are starving, or I don't know. Like, I just came up with all of these reasons why I was not allowing myself to have that car, and it really happened. And it's like the same with like relationships that I've had since then, or like business, you know, business deals or other things like that. And even health stuff, you know, it's like, I think I'm on my way to getting healthy, or, you know, getting over this thing or that thing. And then something else happens and I'm like, even worse than I was before. And it's like, what happened? Like, I thought I wanted this really badly, but then there's a part of me that feels like I don't deserve it, you know? And I think that's where the resistance comes in, where you feel like, but why me? Like, why do I deserve this? I don't know if that makes sense. But that's how I feel.
Well, I relate it not so much
with resistance. And I know,
I think we got some weird cut off there.
Yeah.
Still talking?
Yeah.
Okay. I experience it as like I'm not allowed to shine. Not that I'm not, like, who am I to shine, really? But it's like, because other people don't feel that I should be shining. Like, literally do not feel that I should be shining, speaking in public, being out there or whatever. And so I choke. Like, I will choke. Like, I have been like, they're calling me, it's happening, it's going right now, I'm getting what I want, I'm getting everything. And I'm like, hey, peace out. I'm panic attacking under the covers in my bed. You know? Like, I get like a visceral, physical, like, I don't think I can contain this. Right. And I, when I wrote Soul versus Ego Smackdown, I did it in 48 hours. And my vibration was so high because I channeled that thing just through me. And it was the most amazing, just amazing experience. But I was so high in my vibration that, like, it was uncomfortable. Like, my body was so slow compared to my vibration. And then I looked around and I was like, oh my God, there's no one up here. There's no one up here. This is so lonely. And I had not I had not drank alcohol for 2.5 years, and I went and got beer out of the fridge. That I was at a retreat and they had beer in the fridge, and I went and got a beer out of the fridge after 2.5 years to try to calm my vibration and bring it down. Mm-hmm. So uncomfortable up there high, and I felt so alone up there high, because who does that? Who writes a book in 48 hours?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Around me is like, yeah.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And my whole body just, it was so uncomfortable, because it was like I was shaking in my body. Mm-hmm. Like the physics could not contain it, you know? And so yeah. I was like, I gotta bring myself down. I gotta ground, because I can't. Mm-hmm. So I did. I like intentionally brought myself down to ground. And then I was like, well, crap. Now I'm back here and not where I was. And so now it's been a lot of, okay, I got to raise my vibration again, raise my vibration again.
Yeah.
You choked? You think you like intentionally went, nope, this is too much. Nope. I can't manage this much vibration, this high, this big, this wide, this bright.
Yeah. Oh my God. All the time. And I'll tell you, I have two examples that come to mind regarding that. I think one was when we, when you were going to Mexico, remember like a year ago, and I was like, you know, I've been wanting to go to Mexico. I need the beach. It was February. I'm like, I'm coming to Mexico. But I backed down a lot. I was like, no, I can't come. You know, I'm too tired, or I'm too sick, or I'm too whatever. And then you're like, you're coming to Mexico. You know, so I booked the ticket to Mexico and I freaked out. Like I felt that in my body, like exactly what you're talking about, like that vibration and feeling like, oh my God, I'm giving this to myself because this is what my body really needs right now and what my soul needs and where I need to be. But like, yeah, I was so ungrounded. And so like just flighty, I don't know, ungrounded, I think would be the best word. And then I remember the morning, like we had, I don't know, like a 9 a.m. or a 10 a.m. flight or something. And I woke up at 5 and I was totally fine the night before. So I woke up at 5 and I was getting, you know, dressed to come meet you, you know, so we can go to Mexico. And I totally threw up, like all of a sudden, like my stomach, and I don't know if you remember this, but my stomach was just like, I felt so sick. And I threw up at like 6 o'clock. I was like, oh my God, I can't go to Mexico. I'm so sick. You know, I'm like, I have to, you know, call Tracy and tell her that the trip is canceled because I just cannot go to Mexico. And then I was just like, I have to go to Mexico. Like I,
she does this. I'm like, shut up and get on the bus.
Yeah. And I'm like, but I was literally ready to cancel my flight and cancel my hotel and not go to Mexico, you know, because I was so, just felt so sick about it, you know, like literally throwing up because I was so, I don't know, felt like I didn't deserve, I don't know, whatever, like we're talking about now. Yeah. And then I had another incident too. Like I remember I was a guest on this radio show. And you know, I did the radio interview. Like it was a place in, I think it was in Boulder. So I did the radio interview and then the guy who interviewed me, like him and I had such a good connection, you know, that like at the end of the show, he's like, oh my God, I've been looking for a co-host. Like I really, you know, would you co-host the show with me, you know? And I was just like, what? You know, like, what is this? Where I was just coming for an interview, what happened? And then I remember like, I was so excited and so felt like, oh my God, I'm going to have a voice and a bigger platform. And, you know, all of these awesome things are going to happen as a result of this. And I was driving back to my house. And I guess I was speeding because all of a sudden I see like the cops behind me, you know, it's like they're flashing lights, pulling me over, you know, and they're like, you were speeding, we're going to give you a ticket. So it's like my whole, like, whatever high I was on at that point, it was like totally down. And I was like, that is crazy. Like here I am, you know, I mean, they don't have anything to do with each other, you know, but it's like, I'm having this really high, awesome, like I've made it kind of moment. And then it's like, oh, sorry, here, you know, here's your speeding ticket. I don't know, it's like $200 or something. And like a point on my driver's license. And I didn't even know I was speeding. you know, because I was like in my own little world and just so happy. So that kind of stuff happens all the time, you know, and I think it was the same with, you know, I had this amazing launch and then like a few days later, my body totally crashed. It's like, what, you know, why can't I just enjoy being up here and be okay with being up here? But like you said, then there's like all those other voices and all those other people. They're like, well, what will they think? You know, how will they judge me? Will they be uncomfortable, you know, if I'm doing this, and how is that going to impact them? So, I mean, it shows up for me all the time. And I think being sick and not being fully healthy, is one way that this, you know, and it's still been going on for me, because obviously, like I'm still experiencing that, you know? So it's much more mild, and I'm definitely much better, and I can like see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm still like almost on a weekly basis. I'm like here and then, you know, but then it's like, the goal is that like these two highs and lows will eventually like just kind of even out, you know? And it's like, okay, I'm
maybe the goal.
Yeah.
The goal becomes comfortable with it. Yeah.
That's a good point, right? Yeah.
I'm down with this.
Yes. That's so true. Yeah, let's just stay up here. Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's about getting comfortable with it. Like, when you're rising up, like there is we live in matter, right? Yeah. But our vibration can be so much higher than the matter that it's hard for our bodies to sort of rise with it. Mm-hmm. And so that's like an issue. It's a real issue. You have to do something about that. So that could be energy work. It could be wearing jewelry or crystals or whatever you're doing to bring your body, you know, diet, whatever you're doing, you got to, like, for instance, I physically bring my body down with alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I use something physical, so you can then use physical things to also do this, whether a cleanse or an energy work or a massage or self-care of whatever, you can assist your body in making that rise and bringing the parts of yourself that are afraid. I feel like just as much of this, you said, oh, I feel like that's cheating. And I'm like, good Lord, I'll cheat all I will cheat and cheat and cheat. I will take whatever medication, drug, try any treatment. I mean, I will do anything just to make it easier for me, because I'm so stuck, right? So like, I don't know what to do. So I will do just about anything. And so let's talk about some of the things that we have done that are pulling us out. Because like you've said several times, we're not out, right?
Right.
We're pulling ourselves out. And a lot of that is just force of will. Force of will. Because I have this program, How to Get Your Mojo Back, right? You have to force yourself to do it, because what is the last thing you want to do when you're in a funk, Andrea?
Work on getting out of the funk.
Yes, it's the very last thing. And I teach the course, and I do these processes every year with clients, with my friends, with my family, with my kids. And I have to make myself do it every stinking year, because there's this point in the year where you're just like, what is the point of this? And you're in a funk. And you're like, I didn't get what I want, or I'm not where I want to be. And then to like sit back and be like, oh, well, I'm going to do these things that'll make me feel so much better. It sounds like the worst idea in the world. Why is that, do you think?
I mean, it's because it's work, you know, and I feel like it's so much harder to work on ourselves than it is to work outside ourselves. You know, it's like someone will go and spend like, you know, 8 hours working on their business, but then they'll feel guilty doing like a 1 hour massage, you know, and things like that. So I feel like it is so much easier to do stuff out there than it is to do it in here. So I think we just, we just tend to shy away from it. At least that's been my experience, you know, and it's like you were talking about being up here. And I have to tell you, like, being up here feels really, really lonely, you know, and
well, I experienced.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, and I'm not saying that as in like everybody else is down here and, you know, like all of a sudden I'm up here and there's no one around me to join. It's not like that, because I feel like everyone can choose to be up here. Like we're all equal. We all have the same potential, the same ability in a way to, you know, to get up here and raise up our vibration. But I feel like those people that have a wake up call, and it seems to be like everyone around me at this point, you know, it's like the people that have a wake up call, I feel like they've kind of told the universe that they're ready to be up here and like stop playing, you know, over here in the, like in the lower vibration. But it's hard because not everybody wakes up at the same time, you know? So it's like when you wake up and you're here and then everybody else is here, it's like you kind of want to go to the familiar and be like, okay, I want to be here with everybody else where it feels really comfortable and where it's what I know and who I know. And again, it's like, it's not to put anybody down and to be like, you know, I'm up here and you're down here, because that's not what this is about. It's about like realizing that there's something more than where we're at right now. And there is something that you can reach up here if you just wake up and go for it. But it's really uncomfortable and it's really lonely.
Painful, and it's lonely.
And it hurts, exactly, yeah.
One of the major things where I was like, oh my God, it's so lonely up here. There's no one up here. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course there are other people up there, but they weren't in my little tiny world. You know?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't like I had all my friends there. And I feel like the last year or so, like that has been my plea to the universe. I don't want to go alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go alone.
Yeah.
And the people who haven't fallen away, I've been like, get up and come with me because I don't want to go alone.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about this last week. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Literally, yeah. Andrea, get up. I don't go alone.
I know.
People in my life where I'm like, okay, well, some people I've been like, well, I don't think they're going to come on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just got something else going on, and it's painful. It brings me grief.
Right.
Yeah. That before I'm ready to be like, okay, but I'm going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And so I really am hoping that we both can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It really does get very lonely.
Yeah.
And it's a vibration thing. It is not a status thing. It's a vibration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Energetic pulse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That does get very comfortable when you leave it. Because you're your family of origin. You're leaving, you know, your neighbors or your coworkers or, you know, your friends, people you actually love. It's not that you don't love them.
Right, yeah.
Because you love them that you don't want to arise.
Right, yeah.
Sit with them.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel like you're leaving you, like the old you down here. Which, you know, it's like not only do you lose a lot of people around you, but you have to like say goodbye to the old you, because the old you can come up here, you know, and that's really scary. That's like, oh my God, like I've worked so hard to become this me that I am right now. Like I don't have what it takes to become another me, you know, like I just don't have that right now. So, but it's like, you know, you need to go there.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do I get there? Because I have to leave the old me and everything else I know and everything else that's gotten me to where I am right now. I have to let go of all of that. So, and that's not easy. I mean, it's like the hardest work that I've ever had to do. It's like, this is harder than like giving birth to children, you know, or, you know, running a business or being successful, or like, this is the hardest work that I've ever done. And that is to like, let go of the old me so I can be the me that I was meant to be, you know?
It's great for thee because fucking awesome.
Right.
And the whole deal is awesome and everybody's gonna miss it. You know? So let's talk about little things that people can do if they want to pull themselves out of a funk, right? Just little things like your car. Like, I call it like an Orange Crush soda pop. Like, that's a big deal. It's like you're going to be driving around in an Orange Crush soda pop. It's got the roof, and it's got this poppy color, and it's very fun, hip car. Like, every time you get in it, you're going to be like, vroom, vroom, vroom. Like, that's a real difference. Like, you think it won't, but emotionally, energetically, it makes a huge difference. And I noticed part of your resistance to that was, well, what if I don't want to be like vroom, vroom, vroom?
It was almost like, I'm not ready to like be this like happy, you know, peppy person in my car. Like, I feel like crap inside. Like, why would I, you know, why would I do that? So yeah, there's a resistance there.
You buy the thing. We both bought some jewelry that, you know, in our vibration. Putting the pictures up in your house, like the pictures in your office, they're so colorful and brilliant, and her children made them. They're gorgeous. But how did that change how you feel in your office?
Yeah, I mean, it has a huge impact, you know, and even like getting out of my house this morning and going in my driveway and seeing like, you know, this orange car, I'm like, yes, thank you, you know. Or like and I'm really into color, which is really weird because I end up wearing mostly black clothes all the time, but that's not me. It's like, and you've seen me, right? Like, I'm always wearing black, and I'm like, but I love color.
In front of your closet.
Yeah.
I actually have. I've been like, orange.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, even today, like, I was going to wear all black, and then I saw this. I'm like, I need a little color. But I'm like, oh, it could be even brighter, you know, but this is good for now. But I think even, like, you know, like meditation, and I know everybody talks about meditation, but like just taking 5 minutes to close your eyes and to just like tune out everything else and just sit and not think about your appointment or your kids or, you know, or your business or whatever. That's really helped me a lot. And I also think this is a weird one, but like dancing, you know, and sometimes like,
so good.
Yeah, like sometimes
it's the vibration. So good.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like even a minute of dancing totally changes everything, you know? And there's times that I'm like so tired. I'm like, I cannot possibly dance right now. And then I put on like my favorite songs, and like 2 seconds later I'm dancing. And I'm like, thank you, music, for getting me out of this, because I just needed to move, you know? And it's like, if I'm not able to go on a 10-minute walk because I'm, you know, too tired, I can do a 1-minute dance, you know? Like, I can handle that. So stuff like that, I think, is just so important, you know? And so it's so subtle, but it has such a huge impact.
Well, that's kind of the point I want to get across to people, is the little things make up the big thing, right? So anything, any tiny little thing you can do to bring you joy, I don't care if that's eating a piece of chocolate or banana bread muffin or wearing a colorful top. Like, a colorful top makes a huge difference. I have this friend who's going through some depression, and I'm like, hey, put on some makeup and mascara and a pretty shirt. And you think that's silly advice, but it's a massive difference. It truly is. Like, I've been in some deep, 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 dark depressions after 9/11, when I had my baby. I was in a bad depression. I would say the number one thing I did to make myself feel better is put on clothes, like put on real clothes and put on real makeup. Getting your hair done, oh my Lord, like getting your hair done changes everything. And it's not a vanity thing. It's like how you're walking through the world, right? Like you're walking through the world where you're like, I didn't even bother to get dressed. I'm still wearing yoga pants for last week. I haven't gotten a haircut in 9 months and I haven't put on a lick of lipstick. It's not even about the appearance of it. It's about the like actual effort. Like it's about the, oh, okay, I'm not making, I don't ever put on stuff to make myself attractive to other people. I'm because it makes me feel good to look in the mirror. I'm not even going to leave the house today, but I still have mascara on and a pretty top and some jewelry, because when I look in the mirror, or how I move in my life, how I'm moving around in the world is me.
Right.
So why would I not do things that are pleasing for me to feel and experience and look at? Like, who gets to look at me more than me? No one. And I want good hair. And sometimes that means in February, I need a little pink in my hair because I need that little boop. I need that little spark. So just getting your hair done. In fact, my hairdresser, she knows that if I wait to get my hair done until February, they're like, it's going to become an emergency. Like, I'll start to do something crazy. And so, like, we have, like, a preventative, you know, end of plan that's in place, right? Like, let's get you in end of January before things become emergent and you start doing crazy things. Like, one year I was like, oh, my God, my hair. And I cut it off all up to here.
Oh, my God.
Never again.
I've done that too, yeah.
Never again. No, so you just go in January and you go, I need good hair because it's really going to pump up my mood. Like, these things really matter to your mood. What you drive, what you wear, how you look when you look in the mirror. If you look in the mirror and you're like, I'm so cute without makeup, awesome, right? Whatever. I don't care what your hair is or your makeup is or whatever, but it's how it makes you feel. If you look in the mirror and you're like, bleh. Okay, try some lipstick. Why not? Why not try some lipstick? Or if you are feeling crappy because you're, I mean, one of the major things that I've done in the last 6 months is quit drinking because it was lower in my vibration. And every time I pull myself up, it was, every time I pull myself up, it, so basically I was just doing this constantly. I'm like, well, God, that's taken a lot of effort. So I just quit drinking so I can keep going up. Simple. But one day of not drinking is the next day of not drinking is the next day of not drinking. It's just a little small thing. And I don't drink anymore. It's not a, it's not a thing, right? And the whole reason is because my body just doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah.
It does not want to do that anymore. It wants to do other things, move, working out, that kind of thing. So you can start so small with a 1 minute dance.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to give another example because I had, for the longest time, I thought I will only be happy if I move to the beach in, like, a tropical climate. Like, that is what my body needs. That's where I will be happy, you know? And I was so convinced that I was not going to get better and I was not going to thrive where I am right now, you know? But if you look at my situation, it's like, okay, I can't do that right now. Like, I can't, literally can't move to the beach right now. So am I just going to sit here and be miserable, you know, and like wish that I could move to the beach and start my life when I moved to the beach? And then I was actually driving a couple of days ago and I was like, okay, what? Like, I need more joy, you know, like I need to do something to kind of get myself out of this funk. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Let me think of something that brings joy to me. And then I thought of the beach, you know, and then I'm like, I am going, like, I literally told myself, I'm going to smile and pretend that I am at the beach right now with my feet on the sand. It's like, you know, I'm driving and then I have like the smile on my face and I'm driving with a smile. And it felt so weird at first, but like within seconds, I felt so happy and so alive. And I was like, oh my God, I thought I had to do this big thing, like move across the country to be happy. And all I have to do is just smile and I'll feel happy, you know, and ever since a few days ago, like I'll just be randomly, like, you know, in my house or my car or whatever. And then I'll just start smiling and I hold it there and I'm like, this feels really weird, but it feels really good, you know? So, and then my kids the other day are like, why are you smiling? And I'm like, I was just sitting on my couch and they're like, Mom, why are you smiling? You know, what happened? And then I'm like, I'm just happy, you know, but it's like, and then they started smiling and all of a sudden, like, all of us were laughing out loud. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is what it's about, you know, like just freaking smile and things will change. And it's that simple. Like, I don't have to move across the country to be happy. I can just smile and I'll be happy, you know, and it's so simple, but I mean, I still want to move to the beach at some point, you know, and that's on my goal list, but what can I do right now, you know? And like, seriously, I'm just going to get off the call and just smile because I'm like, yes, thank you, you know, and it just really helps. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you're describing right there is called a set point. Mm-hmm. And it's something that if you have quite a number of these, you can always, like when you're in a funk or a bad situation, mm-hmm. you can just go back to, oh, that's me on the beach. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. like it's a set point. It's an emotional set point you can always mm-hmm. bring yourself back to. And when you have that built into your life, then it, I mean, it's genius. It's a great way to move out of a funk really fast. And then also, I'm with you. We're both Leos, and we're both like, oh, man, we live in Colorado. In the winter, it's kind of for us. So you know me, every February, like it's just part of my survival strategy. It's like my agreement with the universe. I can live here to raise my kids. It's a great place to raise kids. My access is here. I take them out of school, right? Like, this is where we're staying. But in February and March, I'm going to have to go to Mexico. Peace out. And my whole family is like, great, do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good for everyone.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, there's so much we can talk about. And I actually do want to talk about so much more with you. But I think this has probably gone on. Mm-hmm. A significant amount of time here. I have no idea how long we've been doing this. Is there anything else you definitely want to bring up in here?
I mean, we'll definitely have to do this again for sure. Because there's definitely more that I want to talk about too. You know, and I think the one thing that I want to bring up is that, and I saw this phrase the other day, and the phrase was just keep walking. And I was like, you know, that like life seems so hard right now on so many levels. And sometimes I literally like just sit and kind of wait for stuff to unfold, you know? But then I'm like, that's not like, I can't just give up. You can't just sit there. Like you have to keep walking. So I feel like, I mean, that's what I want to leave this with, is just like, no matter how hard things seem or how unfair or how much of a struggle you're going through, it's like, just keep walking and you'll get to where you need to go if you just keep walking. So that's what I think what I want to leave this with, because it's a message that I'm constantly reminding myself with, you know, and I'm like, that just makes so much sense. Like just keep going and just keep walking and you'll get there. So there's hope, you know, and you'll get there. So that, I think that was really simple again, but really profound. And it's something that, yeah, I want to end with. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
What about you?
Well, what I want people to know is you're not alone. That's the main thing. Like everyone's going through this. If they have any consciousness at all, everyone's going through this, honestly. Like, because we are having a huge shift that's so much bigger than your life. Like I mean, you just look at Donald Trump and the world and you go, and if you're not in disease or depression or going, what is the point of this? Like, what is happening? What is the point of this? If that's not you, then I have to question your sanity, not the other way around, right? Because it's not okay. None of this is okay. Like, you can't look at the world today. Excuse me. You can't look at our situation and be okay with that and still be a sane person. Right. And it does require something else of you. And it's taken us, I would say, 2 or 3 years to sort of figure out what that is. Like, just make sense of it. Right? Mm-hmm. It's taken me that long to be like, I don't even know how I can respond to this. Like, what is the point of me even doing or saying anything if this is what's going to happen? So you're not alone. We're going through a massive shift. I believe we've turned the corner.
Yeah, I feel it too.
Today is the full moon. We're entering a new vortex and new phase. Yesterday was winter solstice, right? So regardless of whatever time you're watching this, it will be after those two events, right? Literally, there's something bigger than you. And you can call it the stars. You can call it the planet. You can call it the environment. I don't care what you call it. Energetically, we've made a shift. And if you take the tiniest step forward, like she said, just keep walking forward. If you take the tiniest step forward, and then the next tiniest step forward, and then the next tiniest step forward, we're going to pull ourselves out of this. And the point of it, the whole reason we need you to pull yourself out of this is because we need you up here with us. Because it's so lonely up there. And also, if we're not up here, I don't know how we're going to fight the bad stuff that's going on down here. The stuff that's happening in the world right now is definitely a lower consciousness and a low vibration, but it's real easy. Like, we all want to stay in our funk because that's the easier thing to do. So the invitation is to rise, come up here, pull yourself up into the new vibration with one little thing at a time. And I have this course that will walk you through it. You can just breeze through it and, you know, just however long it takes for you to do some processes. And yes, you're going to hate doing it for a second. And then afterwards, you're going to be like, I don't know why I was so resistant to doing that. Because that's what happens every time. It's not just you. It happens for everyone. And that will really, because, you know, we're about to start doing the intentional manifesting right now. And we got to get our vibration up. We got to pull the It's not as hard as you think it's going to be, right? It is not as you think it's going to be. It has been so much harder. I mean, it's like some kind of post-traumatic stress from the last 3 years where I think we're resisting just because, oh my God, it was so much work just to do the little things, right? But right now, I'm telling you, there's a release. There's a release on the planet. You are totally free now to go, okay, I'm just going to do the littlest things and see how far it rises me. And the littlest things right now are going to make much more of a difference than they were a year ago. Would you say you feel that way, Andrea?
Absolutely, yes.
A year ago, what was so hard for you is going to be much easier now. And maybe that's because we've gone through the last trials. I don't know. But there's definitely an energetic shift where it's like, okay, you can put a tiny little bit of effort into it now, and it's going to have a much greater effect. And then a much greater effect. Like, I can't tell you just in the last month how much better I feel. Just in the last month. Now, of course, I have been doing things. I have been doing my processes. I have been making an effort toward more self-care and massage and intention setting and exploring what's stopping me and internal work that's necessary, but not as much as you think. And it will, like, gradually lift you up to the point where you're like, yeah, I'll do it. Yes. Please. Yeah. So I would like you to know that you're not alone. It's going to get easier, and just take the steps forward one at a time, and things are going to rise. And we need you. Like, we need you. I can't do this by myself. You can't do this by yourself. Even if we join forces, we can't do this by ourselves. Come on. We got to do something. This is insanity, right? Yeah. It's insane. And so we all need to go, oh, okay, that was shock. 2 years of like, and now, you know, we've got 2 years left to turn this thing around and let the light win. Come on.
Yes, very well said, Tracy.
Yeah, so that's where we're going to leave you. And Andrea and I are definitely going to do this again because we've got other stuff cooking. Yeah. Thank you so much, Andrea, for sharing. It's very bold and brave, and I honor you for that.
Thank you, Tracy, as well.
All right, bye-bye, folks.
Bye.